Backseat Producers, episode 194, Let Me In. This is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is Tony.
And this is Dave.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
This is going to be almost as bad an episode as The Lovely Bones, isn't it?
Flip.
So what are we talking about today?
Let me in.
Whoa. What are we talking about next week?
Sucker Punch.
Finally! Ugh! I had to sit through all these movies, most of which I picked, that I didn't want to see, that I'd already seen, for the last 2 months. And now finally we get something good about raping.
We've already talked about raping.
Yeah. I know, but this is a different type of rape.
More rape.
Yeah, more rape.
Clearly, that was the call for 2011. Yeah. Backseat Producers needs more rape.
After the Girl with the Dragon tattoo, we decided that the rape quota was woefully lowballed for 2011.
2011, the year of the rape.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be back on this program. I mean,
you bring the class.
You missed Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, where we're like, there was so much rape in this movie. We wanted there to be less rape.
We numbered them.
Yeah, we had to number them to discuss which rape we would talk about.
Wow.
One of our takeaways was, great movie, needs less rape.
Speaking of which,
I did one sentence review.
Where are you going to go with that?
I have a place. I have a direction. So you said you wanted to believe that that the writer was a woman who was making a statement about rape.
Yeah,
it was not.
I don't.
It was a guy who
Daryl
had
told me this.
But did he tell you that he had witnessed a rape when he was a teen?
No.
And yeah, and didn't do anything. He
just
like
for clarification,
watched it happen.
It's the movie, not Daryl, right?
I'm not making those differences. The writer of the book, the movie,
witnessed the rape.
Yes.
Not Daryl, the host of Backseat Producers.
Correct.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe.
These aren't mutually exclusive conversations. Come on.
That might have happened. We're not here to say it did, it didn't. We're only here talking about
You were like, the writer of the movie, and Daryl said that he witnessed it. I was like, really?
No. Then again, there are those years in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we had that conversation in the Backseat Box Office.
That was milk.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, he felt so distraught about it. Well, not distraught. He was disturbed by his lack of action. And that's why he.
It was the genesis of the whole book series.
Yeah, and the girl who was raped was named
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, yes.
Wow,
interesting. So I saw the promo site for the American version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Daniel Craig looks
movie, isn't it?
Looks just like Daniel Craig looks just like that other dude.
Yeah,
and then that Elizabeth chick is still extremely unattractive.
That's
like
fair.
Intensely so.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they decided to go with an unattractive woman?
I think probably for the connection of unattractive and rape, like a subtle reinforcement.
Didn't want to glorify, have an adverse effect on the on the audience.
Yeah, they don't want to indulge anyone's power fantasies.
They did kind of do that at one point. Rape number two. Actually, it was rape number 2.5.
That was the third rape.
Because it was four rapes.
Can you have a half a rape?
Yeah, you can. Turns out.
Turns out. So there were four rapes?
Yep.
The third rape.
Yeah.
That one. That was kind of a power fantasy.
Yep. Only it was a weird... It was Let's not talk about that movie. Let's talk about this movie.
Let's talk about Sausage Fest.
Let's talk about Sausage
Fest. I don't think segueing from rape into Sausage Fest is really a good move.
I think it's the perfect move. Have you seen the logo?
So now
it's great to be back in the program.
Successfully associated Sausage Fest with rape. Before, there was just light rape implications.
It's full on.
Oh, stop it. Sausage Fest is not about rape.
No, it is not.
It's actually about boobs, though.
It is about boobs.
Man boobs and lady boobs.
Truth. Both men and ladies have boobs. And they have cancer that affects the boobs.
Biology facts. Sucks. Backseat producers are all medical doctors. So we can tell you with full certainty that all people have boobs. Fact.
That is true.
Board certified.
All right.
So, Deuce is quitting after tonight.
Well, he's got to. Someone didn't get their license renewed.
All right. Luckily, after tonight, I have enough material for a whole novel. So,
well, there you go.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so Sausage Fest is happening. The website is not 100% functional yet, but it's going to be sausagefeststl.com.
Hold on a second.
What?
You were not able to get sausagefest.com?
No.
Which means that there are multiple Sausage Fests?
There are Sausage Fests all over the country.
If not the world.
I don't think he does.
You don't?
No, I'll do the who is on that later, though.
Yeah, that website has been taken since, like, 97.
Well, Tony...
What about Dave Coulier? You think he might be the guy?
DaveCoulier-SausageFest.com?
We could rebrand it.
Could have I'm sure he'd be fine with us using his name and likeness to associate it with Sausage Fest.
He's got to be concerned about breast cancer. Hey, we're not saying anything bad about him. That's just
here's the
we're,
deal.
We're
here's
assuming
he's
something
get behind this thing.
We're assuming something good.
That here's, he's, here's just he, might, it just might revive his career in the way that the Cowbell skit did Christopher Walken's.
Here's the
that
deal.
Happened.
Breast cancer and terrorism are terrible.
That
Sausage
is
Fest addresses one of those issues.
Fights it hard.
Yes. How would you fight it soft, Tony? Like thumbing in?
Probably the way we're fighting in Pakistan right now.
Oh, dude, don't make
man.
It weird.
All right. So,
legitimately, Sausage Fest, breast cancer awareness.
Indiegogo, come to the website. Actually, come to backseatproducers.com. There's a nice little widget on the sidebar you can donate from.
Yes, please donate.
Please, yes.
Because I heard that anyone who's not pro-boob is gay.
Now that's something I agree with.
I don't know.
New tagline.
I don't know. That, you know, I can't buy into that.
I can.
I would.
In fact, I already did.
I would bet there's a whole group of people that would argue that, and they are called lesbians.
Ooh. They're still pro boob.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
well,
I
they are gay.
Soon.
Well, they might be pro boob. Don't paint your liberal paintbrush across the lesbian community's wants. You know what, lesbians? I'm on your side. I respect your right to be pro or anti boob.
You want to drop that quote Adam had 5 seconds ago?
Nope.
Right here.
Nope.
Right after
hey,
that
hey,
statement.
Hey, it happened in the past. Doesn't matter. I was gaming with someone this weekend who had a power in one of the games to let them see 30 seconds into the future, and they apparently weren't getting the mileage out of the power they wanted. And so they asked the GM, in all honesty, well, can I just switch it to being able to see 30 seconds in the past? Yeah, you can do that. It's called a memory. You already have that power. You're a superhero. I was like half asleep at the table. I was like, what did you just say?
Did I just fall asleep and dream this?
I hope that really didn't happen.
That's awesome.
Hey, let me in.
No.
No. Yes.
No, yeah,
I've heard wonderful things about this movie.
Was it from me before the mics turned on?
Yes.
All right.
So, high level thoughts. What did you think, Deuce?
As I said, I've heard wonderful things about it from Adam. Or as we like to call him on the podcast, David.
Douche.
Dickle. The D-Vizzle. I think Julian
Aaron
Shirt Stabber.
I was going to get that on a shirt and then wear it. I'd like have two X's over the nipples. X marks the spot, Deuce.
All right, so where were we now?
I don't remember, Tony.
Rape. We were just beginning high-level thoughts on
You're
going to
give us a bad
movie.
Reputation. That's what you're going to do. Over you over there.
I will, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. You.
High-level thoughts.
You're the Temple of Doom.
Daryl.
When I started out this movie, I wasn't too terribly impressed in the first few minutes, but I stayed with it, and I was kind of pleasantly surprised how it turned out. Mostly, I just don't like these vampire flicks at all, but this was pretty different.
When Melina watched this movie before I did, and she's like, "You gotta watch this movie," and I'm like, "What is it?" And she's like, "Well, it's a horror movie," and I'm like, "I'm already out. I find horror to be really stupid."
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't remember why I started watching it. I think it was on, and then I caught pieces of it. I'm like, well, I'm not going to finish it. But then I really enjoyed it. Because it's not a horror movie.
It is not a horror movie.
I don't know what element of the movie... You go ahead. We'll discuss that in a moment.
I like the movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was... I agree. It was a little bit slow at the beginning, but it was necessarily slow. It built tension very nicely, and I enjoyed the whole thing.
All right, so I don't understand why it was classified a horror movie.
Because it had a vampire in it.
Now, on the
spoiler.
Whole... On the whole...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not everyone here has seen the movie, Tony.
On the whole, I enjoy vampire movies. Vampires have some cool, like, losing humanity, turning into a monster, have to... live off of humans kind of like as an analog for a relationship mm-hmm. between two people.
Right.
I actually dig that. Like
Oliver Stone of The Doors was about that.
I don't know what that means, but...
He does.
Deuce. You. If you're going to be disruptive, I'm going to start flashing lights.
You get a squirt bottle out, treat you like a cat.
This is Adam at the movie he didn't want to see.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
6 weeks later.
Wait,
this
what
is just
movie
payback.
Did I want to see?
This is just payback.
I can't remember.
For every time you do this.
What movie did I want to see?
I don't remember.
No, movies I've stopped showing up.
It's not the movies that you don't want to see. It's the movies you don't want to talk about after you've seen them.
Name one.
Just one?
You can't. Can you? You're stalling.
It was shortly after the Superman episode. I remember that. Because
no,
it
was
didn't like
Superman.
That movie.
It was Superman.
It was Superman.
It was Superman. That was bad. That night was bad because he came with an agenda to be belligerent.
That movie was so stupid.
He came with an agenda.
Listen,
he
when
probably
you set
had
up
made notes.
A conflict, and the conflict doesn't matter. You've wasted my time because there's no conflict. I'm sorry.
There is a conflict, though.
The conflict is, why am I still watching this movie?
The conflict is, Warner Brothers needs to make money, and they can't do it without a Superman movie.
They can. They do it often.
Mostly with Batman movies.
Well, now, but... Because the last
Warner
Superman
Brothers
wasn't any good. Burn.
What?
You were wrong, but that's okay.
I can't even deal with how wrong you are.
That the last Superman wasn't any good?
Oh, I thought you said Batman.
Oh, last Batman was great.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't even deal with how wrong that is.
I thought we all talked about that and agreed.
Yeah,
we were
in agreement.
I don't remember that conversation.
You had it three times in 1 week. You
yeah.
should remember it.
I do not remember it clearly or at all.
You were making a point about something.
Doubt it.
How much you like vampire movies?
Yeah, I dig the vampire analog as a plot device.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, I think, showcased the strengths of what that relationship can be. Because the chick, whose name I can't remember, because I saw this movie more than a week ago, is...
Abby.
Abby?
Abby, is yet. Not this plotting, scheming, 3,000-year-old, like, bitch from hell. She's a child. Who's
seemingly.
Still a child in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well... Sort of.
Very sort of, because there's a point in the movie where she's talking to Owen, and she tells Owen quite plainly, I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
So that kind of leaves us in a bit, well, we were kind of left with it, okay, she's not a girl, she's a monster.
Right.
But there's a deeper thing that she's trying to tell him that she can't tell him right off the hand.
I think looking at that superficially is limiting in some ways, because she is clearly still a child.
She is a child.
Physically.
I think emotionally, too. You can see that clearly in the way that she interacts with Owen and
Thomas. I wouldn't say that she's a child. I would say that she has lost her humanity, and her relationship with Owen is giving her some reason to get back in touch with that humanity.
Right, because she's drawn to Owen's innocence and kindness. Mm-hmm. I mean, he accepts her for what she is.
It's kind of like how old people like babies.
But so does the old guy. Okay, so we're all agreed that the old guy taking care of her, Thomas,
yeah,
is clearly just Owen from 50 years ago.
Yes.
I would definitely agree.
He's
with
what
that.
He's essentially
Owen will turn into this guy.
He right. could.
I think he will. I think that's kind
of. Well, we don't know enough of Thomas's background. He knows what Thomas was.
I would say there's no doubt.
I think the pictures from the photo booth are pretty indicative of who this guy.
Well, we find out that Thomas was not her father. Although she tells him she wasn't.
Right.
He was her lover.
Just some young boy that
she seduced.
I don't think seduced is the right word.
It would have to be. I mean, you can't have a relationship that lasts like 40 some years without some sort of reciprocation there.
Whoa, you're only implying a sexual reciprocation.
Well, no, some sort of love has to exist. Otherwise, why would he go out and kill for her all the time?
I got pretty close friends that I don't have sex with. Mm. Like people who have been with me for. I can measure the time that I've been with these
people.
Well,
the biggest way, Abby has some hold over people. I mean, how to hold on to a relationship like that for 40 years and getting you to be your grocery store, essentially. It's a very strange relationship between Abby and Thomas that only gets brought out sorely towards the end when Thomas allows himself to be killed by Abby.
Okay, so here's the thing about that, though. I think that the relationship changes. I think there is implication that their relationship starts the same way that Owen and Abby's relationship starts, and then turns into something as he gets older and she doesn't, where he starts seeing her as a surrogate child.
Yes.
And I think that when you say that that she's tricked or seduced or there's some sort of reciprocation there, that's not the nature of their relationship anymore.
Not currently, no. He's doing it because he loves her. He cares for her. He doesn't want to see her hurt.
He wants
Otherwise,
to
she's
got to
go out and do all the killing herself, and she's not very good at it.
I wouldn't say she's not very good at
Well, let's put it this way. She's very good at killing, but not cleaning up after herself.
Well,
she leaves too much evidence.
Thomas isn't really good at that either.
Well, he states that in the movie. He said, I must be getting one to be caught because I'm getting sloppy. He's taking bigger and bigger risks.
Well, he makes mistakes. I mean, I wouldn't even say that he's taking bigger risks. He just made mistakes, and the time he gets caught was there was an odd set of circumstances
right.
that led him to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, odd.
I think that a big theme of this is acceptance. I mean, because Abby really wants acceptance from somebody who isn't Thomas.
Right.
Like, she's gotten to the point where his acceptance isn't enough anymore.
I can accept
it. Which, that is the natural course of human relationships. That as you are, the longer you are with someone, the less you value them.
Really? You think that's absolutely true?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't remember my dog's name, but when I first got her, she was awesome.
That's not a human. I'm saying that you have to create grander and grander.
I care.
I'm saying that you have to create grander and grander efforts to satisfy the same thing, like
to maintain a relationship.
What if your relationship just changes? I'm just making kind of a philosophical point. I haven't seen the film, obviously, but what if it just changes instead of like? I mean, to think that you have to keep doing more and more and more because it like flames out.
That's my point, though. That's my point. That Abby doesn't change.
Okay.
So the nature of the guy's relationship with her clearly changes. But he no longer is that child.
The innocent child that accepts her for what she is, who she is, without question,
I mean, because clearly
at some point she becomes a burden.
Yeah, having him go out every night and kill people so she can eat clearly changes him in some fashion.
Right.
And it becomes a second job to him because you can hear him through the walls and he's yelling, he's pissed off.
Well, also that, but it's not so much it's a burden, yes, but it's a burden he's willing to accept. He's been doing it for years. He definitely cares enough about her to take these huge risks.
That at one point he was willing to accept, and that maybe at some point, subconsciously, he
has grown to resent her.
Yeah, yeah. He's resenting her. It's a really nice analog for a marriage where one person changes and the other person doesn't.
Well, that's
or they change in different ways.
That dovetails Owen's own experience. His parents are getting divorced, and that fallout is happening around him. He can see it, how it's tearing up his mother and forcing her to be more and more, forcing her further into the bottle. But this dynamic is around Abby and Thomas too. They argue over things, mm-hmm. and they're not shy about it either.
They've been in a relationship for 40-ish years.
Long time.
They're not shy about their alien sex either. That doesn't happen.
But I thought it did. Good job.
Well, that's just it. We see Owen and Abby as if they're two damaged individuals, different from each other. They're both going through relationship problems.
They're not that much different either. That's the thing. Because Owen is just constantly ostracized and treated like he's an outsider.
Well,
and
she is an outsider.
Abby is, in every sense of the word.
An outsider.
Yeah, and the thing about that is that it's worse for Abby because she's not even treated that way. It's like a self-imposed exile.
Which is necessary, as we find out.
Well, that's what she tells.
When she goes around starting eating people.
Well, that's what she told, essentially, Owen in the beginning.
Around in the day.
I can't like you. We can't be friends.
Hard to be friends with your food.
I don't think that's true. You have dogs.
I'm not going to eat them.
I think if situation was bad enough, that decision
if the
might
situation
change.
Was bad enough.
When your kids come down here and say, "Dad, we're starving," and you have zero food, and Riley's giving you the eye.
Oh, it'd be Riley the first to go.
Don't call me. I live across the river. I'm not coming over helping you.
Yeah, I think some decisions are going to have to change.
It would be him.
So, looking at this
movie...
By the
way, so we're clear.
That's a lean cut right there.
So we're clear. I would kill Melina before I ate my cat. Just so we're clear. If our house was on fire, I would save my cat before Melina. Without a doubt.
Great to be back on the program.
Well, looking at this movie, it can be... We tend to think of it as the way it's being marketed as a horror romance movie. But it's more of a relationship movie that has an element of horror in it.
That's the horror.
Yeah.
Relationships.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any real romance to it.
Well, there is romance. I mean, it's the growing relationship between Abby and Owen.
It took me a while to figure out why this was classified as a horror movie. Okay, so there's two types of horror, right? There's shock and awe,
mm-hmm.
and there's personal horror. And everything else gets lumped under personal horror.
Really?
So basically, yeah. So basically the deal with personal horror is that they are trying to find the thing that makes you afraid. So if you read any Stephen King, you read any classical horror novelists, the deal is they always pick some phobia or some element of loss and play it up to the fullest.
Yeah, you're right.
Usually with Stephen King, he does a lot of things like sewer grates is a big thing and the dark.
So are we saying then that
like religion,
that
like
my
carry or something.
That my short story Leaving My Life in St. Louis, which is on sale on both Nook and Kindle,
ding.
Is a horror story?
Yeah, it deals with the tragedy of loss. Like losing one's loved ones is personal horror.
Okay.
That is one of the principal fears.
So that qualifies as a horror story.
Bam, I'm going to market it that
way. Sweet.
What about
a story where a guy who uses kitchen knives in Ireland in the 70s to kill his victims for political purposes, supposedly? Could that be considered a shock and awe horror, or is it personal?
Hold on.
Because of the suffering he endured.
What's the name of this masterpiece?
It's called Boston Connection.
Where can I get it? I'll read it and review
it. You can get it at Barnes & Noble for the Nook or Amazon for the Kindle.
Is it not on sale at Borders?
The BostonConnection.com.
Yes.
Is it not on sale at Borders?
No, Borders closed.
I heard that the last acquisition they made before they closed was the Boston Connection.
That would be nice.
I heard a rumor about a movie.
Yeah, well, that's in the works, yeah.
No, I heard it was a rumor.
The rumor is in the works. That's all what right. I'm trying to say.
He's working on it.
I'm working on the rumor right now.
Mm. Soon to be a major motion picture. Ding! All right. So anyway, I think the reason this is a horror movie is that there's a lot of personal horror going on. It's just downplayed by the escalation of this romance. For one, the kid's parents are getting divorced, and he's just a set piece in their divorce. Because frankly, his mom sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And his dad sucks. Like, when he calls his dad, he's like, "Hey, I'm going through some pretty heavy shit over here." And his dad's like, "Did your mom make you call me?" And he's like, "No, I'm dealing with some pretty heavy shit over here. Put your mom on the phone." Yeah. Like, there is no more clearer call for help than a call for help.
Yeah,
like,
a literal call for help.
No symbolism there.
Well, that's one of the hallmarks of divorce. Usually the two partners are so wrapped up in themselves, they just can't see past anybody else's problems.
Are you talking about me, Daryl? Jesus.
And considering mom's alcoholism, it's pretty easy to see how this all went down.
Are you talking about me, Tony?
Well, the thing is, though.
Yes.
He's talking about me.
I am.
The thing is, we never see mom's face at all. She's just something there.
Exactly. That's
first she's off, just I an object. That was
excellent stylistically. Mm-hmm. That you never see her face because she's absent. You don't even see the dad's body.
Well, you don't even see any pictures or anything either, anywhere, even in his room.
Yeah, I actually love the ambiance of this movie because the fun thing is,
there's another obvious connection there in the kid's room. What's he got on one wall? A lunar landscape, devoid and barren. And it's on the wall that's facing Abby. Relationship, dull, barren, and empty, and distant.
I wouldn't say it was barren and empty.
It's distant and it's empty. I mean, a lunar landscape is not exactly awe-inspiring in terms of...
Well, a lunar landscape, I see, but I don't think their relationship was that barren and empty.
I would buy the argument. I would buy the symbolic interpretation of the distance between them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's clearly
human.
On Earth, and
she's a
very far
creature.
Away in terms of the distance from him, even though it's on the wall between mm-hmm. them. Mm. Which is, I mean, she's right there.
Symbolic.
Steep. I'd have given her the full moon.
And we also...
The full moon. I mooned like 75
people. We see
there
also there's something wrong with Owen, too. I mean, he spends most of his time in his room looking through a telescope in his neighbor's apartments, practicing what he's going to do to the bullies that are bullying him.
Yeah, he's desperately searching for any sort of connection or meaning to life. And then Chloe Mertz shows up. Then it's hot dog happy time. Yeah, that's right, boys. Turn the lights down low.
All right, so to skip this train right off the track, one thing I loved about this movie was the portrayal of vampires in general and their powers and how it worked and how they went back, like, to the old school vampire rules
mm-hmm.
that you have to be invited in, that you
sunlight is deadly.
Instantly deadly.
I only know one instance where that's not the case. Twilight's the only one where those things don't apply.
That's why this movie has a nice classic feel to it. It doesn't try to. It uses the standard vampire tropes for
there's,
all.
There's some of them that try to get around it. There's some of them that try to get around it too, like the Vampire Diaries crap, where it's like we can wear a magic ring and we're not affected by.
Tony,
it.
So no one watches that. That's not fair.
Julie does.
So does Melina.
There are just too many similarities.
She's like,
we are married to the same woman.
It's so good. You really got to watch it. I'm like, I'm not watching that shit. It's so... I'll rewatch it with you. I'm like, oh, yeah, because that's what was holding me back before. You'd already seen it. I didn't want you to watch it again.
Yeah.
You go watch some Buffy for some old-timey vampire classics.
I've never watched an episode.
You're a
full episode of Buffy.
Just a slight segue. Does anyone know what that new show of hers is about and if it's going to be any good?
What new show of who?
Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's got a new show.
Galar. I don't like her.
As far as I'm concerned, Buffy is the worst part about Buffy.
What's the name of the show?
I don't even remember. But it's like, it's something like in something. It's a psychological.
Inside.
It's being portrayed as like a psychological horror. Like, she like doesn't know what she did, and then she.
Some movie?
No, it's going to be like a show. It's going to be on the WB or whatever.
Oh, the WB. Yeah. There's the problem.
Well, maybe, except someone here watched all 10 seasons of Smallville, so.
That may have happened.
So it can't be that bad.
Wasn't.
But wait, well, Smallville was that bad.
Yeah.
It's no longer the WB, though. It's the CW.
Oh, yeah, that's right. CW is what they call it, though. What you kids call it these days.
Ringer?
What?
Maybe that is what it is.
Because that's the only thing that she's doing recently here.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
That's
does have the word dumb. In it.
It does have saying. In the middle. Yeah, so you nailed that part.
Inger.
I gotta be honest with you. This looks dreadful.
What is it about? Is there a plot synopsis?
Maybe. Yeah, here we go. A young woman on the run from the mob poses as her wealthy twin sister to try and evade them, but soon discovers that her sister has a price in her head as well.
I am not watching that.
Yes. You've brought me terrible things, and I'm sad now. Deuce.
You've just disrupted this podcast.
Yeah, I was busy talking
You're
about underage chicks. Like, the thing is that now Hermione's legal, she's not as exciting.
Great to be back on the show.
But man, she is really hot though. What did you go see Tim Minchin? He was talking about that. He's like, man, remember when Hermione was cute? Now I want to watch her shower.
Alright, so vampires.
Vampires.
They drink blood and shit.
She kind of just ate that dude.
Like, she couldn't eat food.
She did not eat food. Mm-hmm. Made her sick. I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered.
Yeah,
do vampires poop?
That's an excellent question.
It's always been a pressing question in my mind.
They don't eat solids. But the blood coagulates, so maybe.
Where does it go? I mean, do they burn it off like oil, or?
Their powers.
True Blood.
I've seen part of that show.
I've not watched
it. It's terrible. Not very entertaining.
No. And, like, so I'm convinced the writers this season are like, how terrible can we make this to troll our audience?
That's what they did in Smallville in season 4, right?
Mostly.
That's what they did in Smallville seasons 4 through 10.
4 through 10.
4 through 9. 10 actually was a nice
turn.
You
keep saying that. I know it's not true.
I keep trying.
10 years is too long to pull that wool over my eyes again. I heard it didn't even fly.
That's not true.
That's what I heard.
You heard wrong.
Did he fly like Buzz Lightyear falling with style? Because that's not actually flying.
No, he flew.
Did he crater?
No.
He cratered Doomsday. Really stupidly.
I have kind of a dumb question.
Here we
go. I quit watching a long time ago, but...
Ask away.
How can he be in Smallville for like 10 years?
He does. He lives in Metropolis.
He's in Metropolis. Okay.
For like 10 years.
For 10 years.
And Smallville's in Kansas, but Metropolis is like 10 minutes away.
Well, it's 10 minutes by soup speed.
No. It's like half an hour by car. An hour tops.
Okay.
The way they present it.
No, it's plot distance away.
Yes. It's like St. Louis. Everything's a half an hour.
Well, yeah.
Except from my house to your house. That's more like 45 minutes.
Oh, God. It's terrible.
All right.
Flat, ugly highway, too. No hooker stops.
What do you mean?
Or minimal hooker stops, Daryl. I'll correct myself. I don't know what else I'm going to say about this movie.
Nice little plot twist at the end.
It was exactly what I expected to happen.
Only after the buildup of it. I expected him to probably take care of business. I didn't expect Abby to. I thought when she left for good.
No, I kind of had the feeling she was watching out for him the whole time. Just because she had grown to care for him.
Right. After she lost Thomas, she had no one to care for, and he's already demonstrated pretty much that he's on her side.
Oh, yeah.
Thick and thin.
Well, yeah.
That scene with him in the pool, like the head floats by. Yes. Awesome.
That was pretty great.
Yeah, it was a nice, satisfying end. You know, they got, you know, everybody got their comeuppance, mm-hmm. but good.
Mm.
Stylistically, that whole sequence was fantastic. When, like, from the time that he's being held under the water,
mm-hmm. and she comes down, that was cool.
Yeah.
I dug that. The imagery in this movie was fantastic. Like, it was very dark, very dim.
Well, yeah, all the settings with him and Abby were always taking place at night, mm-hmm. and everything was always kind of backlit in that cold and winter.
Yeah, setting. Well, the snow does a cool thing with the light, though, because like the mm-hmm. snow is so bright up against them, but then like the up is so oppressively dark.
Yeah, and that's not easy to achieve in film without a lot of lens flares and glares.
Oh, do not bring J.J. Abrams into this, because he will.
Yeah, the guy who set up the camera work on this did a wonderful job of getting the nice dark feeling.
The cinematography was fantastic. It really was, because for a movie as dark as it was, I never felt like I didn't know
see what was going on.
Like I didn't know what was going on. I never felt that way, and that can be hard to pull off.
It is.
I mean, especially if you're not watching it in a theater, because in a theater it's like, okay, yeah, you can see everything. But when you take it home and you're watching, well, you also tend to have light noise around mm-hmm. you when you're watching something at home. So a dark screen, unless you adjust the gamma.
We don't all have children, Tony. I don't have any white noise in my house.
Light noise.
I said
white. I would also cover one other thing, Tony, about
this
movie.
Racist Tony Mac.
One thing you might want to talk about in this movie is the kind of the controversy between the Swedish version and the American version.
I would be able to speak to that if I had seen the Swedish version. I did not have time.
Well, the controversy was that the director of the Swedish movie felt that a remake did not need to exist. Because he felt that it was complete in itself. But the reason why the American version was changed was because the director and writer wanted a much wider audience outside of just Sweden. It wouldn't translate very well.
Is that why we're having a remake of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo?
Having seen the Swedish version, but not the American version, I can safely say that no remake needed to be made, which is why I didn't watch
the movie. Have you seen Let the Right One In?
The fun thing is the author of the novel felt that each movie exists fine as separate individuals.
It seems to me
he's
that everyone's
the author
motivations
never had a,
are
did
just...
not have a problem with there being two different versions of it.
Tony's my turn on the session. It seems to me that everybody's motivations are purely monetary. The director wants to maintain the fact that his is the definitive version.
So people will watch it even after they've seen the U.S. version, mm-hmm. which is not a bad play on his part.
No, he only wants one.
No, he says he only wants one, because if there is only one,
then they have to watch that one if they want to watch it.
People won't watch that.
Yeah, one other thing in the production, is that there is a comic book out that's supposed to cover the backstory of Abby. It was put out by Dark Horse Comics.
I don't want to know. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm
fine with the movie as it's presented, because I don't care when Abby was turned or mm-hmm. whatever, because she could have been turned in, you know, ancient Sumeria or something stupid like that. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Right.
Time matters though, right?
No.
Kind of, though.
Well, we know she's well over 50, 60-some years old.
Right.
Probably older than that. How many other Thomases other than Owens have there been?
How many cycles have there been? This is a cyclical story for her. Mm-hmm. It happens over and over and over again. The compelling thing is the way it happens with Owen. And that's interesting. And then it happens in 1983, at mm-hmm. approximately the same age I would have been had this happened to me.
That was the year I was born, Tony!
I would have been about Owen's age at this time.
Oh, a young, fresh-faced Tony Mast.
Hitting on vampire chicks.
Hands all sticky from jam.
Or blood.
No. Jam or preserves or whatever queer thing old people call it.
What?
Preserves. It's different than jam, actually.
Yes, it is.
It's better.
Hey, I got a joke for you.
This one's really good.
Hey, what's the difference between jelly and jam?
It's great to be back on the show.
It's gonna be. That's gonna be.
No. I know this one. Ron White told this one.
I don't know who that is.
He's a comedian. Blue collar comedy tour. Come on, yo.
No, I don't watch that because my colors are white.
Say the punchline, but know the punchline.
Do you remember the joke?
Yeah, it's.
Hold on. I'll ask Tony.
Because I can't jelly my up your.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I can't jelly my cock in your ass. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Come on, Deuce.
They get on travel around the same circles as you do. I hear those jokes all the time.
First off, I don't. The blue collar people are beneath me. Second off,
used one of his jokes.
No, I heard it from somebody else.
Oh.
I heard it at a party I was really drunk at. Somebody told it to me again the second day. I didn't remember it from the first day, but then I was like, "Man, that's funny." Then I was like, I gotta bring that back to St. Louis. Here we are. Here we are. I cast a wide net when it comes to humor. Who is that? I don't know who that is.
I was raved up.
I thought that was Tallulah, only spending several days at a convention with me wore her out. Sexual innuendo intended.
Sexual in your endo.
No. No. Actually, I should have gone trolling for tail with Evan. That dude's a beast. But that dude gets tons of tail. Or did, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
Sure, he doesn't get tons of tail now. He's also like 40. It's my turn of ascension. Matters to me. He's too old for me.
So what you saying? I couldn't go trolling with you?
Yeah, there's an age limit to ride this ride, brother.
I'm 30 now. It's okay. I'm out.
Are you really 30?
Yeah. Oh,
God, you're so old.
Oof. Yeah, because it's only 2 years for you.
Oh, man. I went to the podcast for meet and greet, and I was talking to John Kelly, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to need a drink. He's like, nah, I'm not old enough yet. I'm like, what?
I know.
It's like, no, man, I'm only 20. And I was like, what? What are we talking about?
I don't understand. This does not compute.
Say it again, because I don't get it. All right.
Anything else?
I got nothing else.
Daryl?
I'm done.
All right. Since we keep saying we're supposed to do this, let's do this.
What are we doing?
Who is this movie for?
Minorities. I think that's been my answer every time so far.
The vampire minority.
That's the majority. I have bad news for you.
Let's say this is a thinking man's vampire movie.
What does that mean?
This means it just doesn't appeal to... It would probably not appeal to the teenage gushing crowd that looks for sparkly vampires, but looks for something that's a bit more intelligent than that. It's a rather sophisticated horror story.
All right, so...
I hate that it's being called a horror story. I understand what you're saying about personal horror. I hate that it's being called a horror story. I think thriller
on a
and
scale,
coming of age story are closer. Because I think Owen's story is really a coming of age story.
Well, it is. He grows up quite a bit.
He grows up a lot. Seeing the girl that you're trying to be blood brother sister with lick your blood off the floor and
really
then look up at you with glowing eyes and say, "Get out of here." Yeah, that
I don't think
that
he was trying to be blood anything with her except for penis vagina friends.
I would say it's a postmodern pre-My Chemical Romance homage Gone with the Wind.
Happening
only for
over there.
The art house crap.
Something's
word, mix them up, spit them out.
My Chemical Romance got tossed out, which means that you've automatically lost. So here's the deal: on a scale of Big Trouble in Little
like
China,
Godwin's rule
to Star Trek One, this was clearly half of an Inception.
I would give it 3/4 of an Inception.
I'm gonna go half.
You gotta go full.
No.
Gonna go full Inception, then cut it back to half.
No. We escaped early. This was the kick. It was the full Inception, but this was the kick.
It was the kick. Was back up one level.
It was too early.
Let's put it this way. If you want something different from the typical vampire flick, this is a good start.
Yeah, and I mean,
you won't be disappointed. I mean, just give it the first half hour and you'll be in.
That, and I would say if you're going to present it to someone, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily need to tell them it's a vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually a little more compelling if they don't know it. That because there are plenty of hints. They don't hide it mm-hmm. ever, but it's got a really nice slow reveal to
the
it.
The word vampire only appears in this movie once.
He asks her flat out, "Are you a vampire?"
And that's the only time it appears.
And she never really answers him.
Yeah.
I'm a slut. That's not the question I asked.
That wasn't the answer I heard.
It's kind of the question I asked.
I need to drink blood to survive, or something like that.
I've heard that one before. That was a line I used in a bar once.
And did 10 years. Order you a Killian's Red?
And 10 years later, here we are. That's a line.
I love how everything happened in your past somehow brings you to this exact moment on this podcast.
It always does.
Hey, it always doesn't does. It though?
You're right. It does.
This podcast is a juxtaposition of vampire and lesbian.
Oh, this is a good night, boys.
And sausage fest.
Good night. I'm kicking Stingray's ass at Ascension. I'm analyzing a movie with what I'd like to consider probably a doctorate level analysis of a film.
If I do say so myself.
Except you disagree with my pre-chemical romance analogy.
No, you brought my chemical romance up. And that was a problem because those guys are dickbags.
And this is a doctorate level analysis.
Yeah,
because of
using the word dickbag.
Between dickbag, sausage fest, and rape, this makes it doctorate
first
level.
First off, I think we're all.
Otherwise, it would just be simply postgraduate.
Great to be back on the program again.
You keep saying that, and you're right. It is great for you to be back with me.
Yes, it is.
By the way,
as I feel my professional career slipping further away each time Tony says rave,
that's
I just
Tony.
Think about how great it is to be on the program.
That's Tony Mast over there.
Well, now we know a specialty you can work in.
Right.
What you don't seem to understand is this is me and my culinary version of rape.
What?
I'm talking about rapeseed oil. Which is great for cooking meats because it cooks it. It really maintains.
Did you learn this at L'Ecole Culinaire?
Huh? No, I learned this at McDonald's.
Oh,
I mean, I gotta get out of this conversation before it's affecting me in ways I don't want.
Because now you want a Big Mac.
No, man, McDonald's
Del Taco.
Gross. I can't eat that shit anymore. We got too old for that.
Del Taco.
No, Del Taco's closed.
I know. That's why we're making
really
you think about
Del
it.
Taco. Either, man.
So we're making you think.
So
about
are you going to buy that building? And
I had my
special?
Boss on the hook to do that because he's rich.
Private Del Taco
because he's rich and needs things to spend his money on for some reason. But it didn't actually happen.
Why doesn't he just sponsor a podcast?
So I'm actually courting my next business.
More money in that.
We could help him out there.
Yes, I'm courting my next business associate,
next
Bumblebee,
great tax loss.
And so we got a whole Ponzi scheme worked out. Me and Bumblebee here.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, look at him.
Oh, wow, there he is.
There he is, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
Bumblebee.
Talking to somebody on your phone.
No, Bumblebee's right there.
Wow. Me and Bumblebee
got
a plan.
He's not a metaphor.
Why? This is when you brought your RoboCop guy in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
neither of them.
That was the other movie.
Contributed anything to the show.
That was the other movie I didn't want to watch, so I didn't show up for.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't sabotage the episode. You just didn't show up.
No, that was Superman. The thing with that one is I'd already seen it, so I couldn't unsee it for the episode.
Well, that's true, but you still didn't have to show up hypothetically.
I didn't have to, but hey, I went the extra step.
AV in the chat room. Juxtaposition of vampire and lesbian. Man, I wish. I wouldn't have to listen to any other podcasts. It'd just be 8 hours of BSB at work every night. Sure, I'd have to explain the awkward boners, but you know what? Worth it.
Yeah, that's
worth it. That's fair.
Have you ever seen any awkwardboners.com?
I have not visited that site in a while.
Neither have I, but I can't look at it now. Otherwise, I'm never going to get home.
I don't know what that means.
I'll get lost in the wash boners.
I see.
Awkward boners. Pull it up on your thing there.
No, I'm reading the news.
Yeah. One of those things is funny and hilarious, and the other one is sad and depressing. Toss-up could be either.
It's true.
Depends on who you are. If you are the subject of the photograph, sad and depressing.
No, the news really isn't that funny to anybody.
Oh, I think it's a riot.
It can be funny.
What?
It's been funny for about 3 weeks.
I don't want to talk about this. I got my fill talking with Luke about this. I don't need to.
All right.
To talk to me about it.
Next week, Sucker Punch.
Punch. Stand by to be punched.
Yeah, Sucker Punch. S&P right there.
So, do you want me to text you tonight after I see this movie and let you know my thoughts?
Yeah.
Or just want me to leave you alone?
I want you to only text me.
Only text
but
you.
But you only have 50 characters per text.
50 characters per text.
And I want like a 1,000-word review. So, you better limber up them fingers.
You're going to have to use compression.
And
wow.
Text speak is awful.
I don't read shortened words.
What if then I send a picture that's worth 1,000 words?
She made a pretty damn good picture. Damn good picture. And if your balls are in it, that only counts as 5 words.
That's not a picture worth 1,000 words.
I know.
Hold on.
What are the 5 words?
No. Hold on. What are your balls doing? What are your balls doing? It's context.
Man, I have to see the movie. I have to understand what I'm going to say about the movie.
Well, I don't know. Are you all tight sack or loose sack? I mean, this
should... Clearly, they need to be bleeding.
No. I told Melina.
Don't give anything away to the movie now.
I told Melina I was going to get a Triforce tattooed on my scrotum, and she's like, I don't. Why? And I'm like, it's a multi-layered joke. First off, I have 3 nuts. Second off, each piece of the Triforce is named something. Like, one of them's courage, one of them's strength, and one of them's wisdom.
Well, we can certainly count that last one.
Doctorate level analysis over here, Daryl.
Courage, wisdom, and power.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Not strength, power.
All right, well, perhaps
another episode.
I'm fairly certain that at multiple times over this weekend...
Power is the one on top, courage bottom left, wisdom bottom right.
When we were at Gen Con, I heard Epona's song when people were waiting for cabs and stuff. Fact.
I sound a surprise. It's Gen Con.
That's awesome. And so obscure.
All right. See you next time, Sucker Punch.